Let's quickly read through just these four verses, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. Let's read these verses together.
Do not think that I came to
destroy the law
or the prophets.
Right.
I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
Right.
Surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away,
yes,
one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law, till yes, all is fulfilled.
Amen.
Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments,
right,
and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever does and
yes,
teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, that
unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's so good that we could spend this weekend time in the fellowship, especially regarding Mount Zion, the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Right, last night, it was very good to see that who is our king?
Amen.
Who is our king in our daily life?
Amen.
Right, we know Jesus Christ. Many of you know Jesus as your Savior, maybe as your life, your comforter.
Yeah.
So many names for the Lord. But how about, do we have the consciousness of Jesus Christ as the anointed king?
Amen.
The anointed king. And it's not just king by himself, but it has been in God's desire that man would reign and have dominion over this earth.
Amen.
Every aspect of this earth would come under the rule and reign of man. But the one who took the lead to do it is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God becoming a man. And as man, the one who fulfilled all of God's righteous requirement,
yeah,
he is the one qualified to rule over this earth.
Amen.
But it was also good last night to see that it was not, he doesn't want to just rule by himself.
Yeah.
But he wants us, the children of God, to grow up to become sons of the kingdom.
Amen.
That we would also rule and reign with Christ.
Amen.
At his second coming. Have you thought about this? Considered this last night? The first time this was shared with me, there was excitement in my heart. I go, wow, there is so much more meaning to my Christian life than just to be saved, to go to sermons, Sunday after sermons, a Sunday after Sunday, to listen to messages, not just to be a good kid growing up in a church life, but there's an ultimate destiny that every one of us would become kings and priests. And brothers and sisters, this is our inheritance. This is what God desires for all of us. This is your ultimate destiny.
Amen.
You're Aaron, right? Have you ever realized your ultimate destiny is to reign together with Christ in his coming kingdom age? Now you do? Or have you dreamt about this all your life? Now you know. Praise the Lord. I was so happy when I found out as a young person, because that changed my life, because it gave me a full of meaning of what it means to live and to walk by the Spirit.
Amen.
Right? But of course, with a kingdom. Every kingdom, every nation has what? They have a constitution.
Right?
And you look at the United States of America, when it was founded, right from the beginning, there had to be a constitution. And as a young child in America, I learned the constitution. We even had to memorize the preamble.
Hmm.
I don't know, Glenn, if you had to do that.
No, no, that was
Ah, you were born in Australia. Sorry. But I know my daughter Sarah, she had to memorize it and she kept repeating it over and over and over again. I don't know if you still remember. We the people, right? Right? So it is so important if for the United States of America to stand as one nation, under God, indivisible, right? I mean, you even know the pledge. Okay, not Canada, sorry. Sorry. But you know, this is how it was when I grew up in America. And I don't know if you realize, but God also has a constitution for his kingdom as well. Right? If you go back to Exodus, the first thing God did when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, what did he do? What did he do? They made a stop 40 days, 40 nights at Mount Sinai. And what was given? The law or the constitution. There, the Ten Commandments and all the instructions that God has given to his people. This was the constitution for the children of Israel. Right? Because if Jerusalem is to become the joy of the whole earth, how can it be without a constitution? Think about it. All of the nation of Israel was in captivity in Egypt. What constitution do they have? What way of living do they have? Darkness. The ways of the world. Right? So today, we are what? We're the church in Toronto? We are the kingdom of God. I hope last night we had a reset, a game changer in our mind, a change in mindset that the church in Toronto is not just a church for good fellowship, for to help one another. I'm not saying all of that is wrong. But we need to have this reset in our thinking that the church here is also the kingdom of God. Right? Have you ever considered the church as the kingdom of God? And for all those, I heard some were newly saved, newly baptized. Did you realize that you not just were baptized to be in a fellowship here in the church in Toronto, but you have been baptized into God's kingdom? So if you're in God's kingdom, what is one of the first things you need to know? You need to know the Constitution. And chapters 5 through 7 of Matthew. Right, last night we began in Matthew, and we continue in Matthew. We saw that when Jesus Christ came, he came preaching concerning the gospel of the kingdom of the heavens. Well, today we need to also see that in God's kingdom, there is a heavenly constitution. Right? And this is why when you read verses 17 through 20, you can see that this heavenly constitution wasn't he tore up the Ten Commandments and said, forget about it. No. He says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And this fulfillment is not just our outward actions, but it happens inwardly at the level of our heart. Right? It was good for OC to share at the beginning the first part of chapter 5 because it tells us what is the intrinsic character that we should be as sons of the kingdom. Everything that was described there is opposite to our nature. Right? We say, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, how many of you, when you saw the title of the conference here in Toronto as Mount Zion, the kingdom of God, rolled your eyes and say, oh no, the kingdom of God again? I hope that is our response. Praise the Lord. Because we need to hear it. Don't think you can get tired of hearing about the constitution of God's kingdom. Hey, in the U.S., if we had to learn the constitution in 8th grade, 9th grade, and 12th grade, and 5th grade, okay, 5th grade, if you had to hear it multiple times, that means it's pretty important. So as kingdom people today, wouldn't this be so important to us? Right? But to be trained in the way of the kingdom, then these characteristics are important. Right? Because how can you be trained if you're not meek? Right? Today, it's hard. In the workforce, how many of you like to be corrected by your managers? Nobody likes to be. Okay, you're a student. How do you like to be critiqued by the professors? Or for all of us children and still living at home, how do you like to hear anything from your parents? So as you read through these intrinsic characteristics of the sons of the kingdom, pray that the Lord would give us this attitude, this type of character. Right? Because this is what the Lord needs for us to train us. If we are so hardened, we are so filled with the way we want to live our lives, then how can we be chastened? How can we be disciplined by God our Father? And how will we ever then 100% be obedient to Jesus Christ as our anointed King? Right, so this is important for us, brothers and sisters. And when you come to the second half, right, you begin to see, as I said earlier, the heavenly kingdom is not a matter of just your outward actions, but it goes deeper into your heart. Right? You know, when you read through these areas, like the first part, verse 21, it says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment.' But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Racha,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'Fool,' you shall be in danger of hellfire." So you have not even committed the act of murdering. But in your heart, there's already wrath and anger. And as you read through the second portion of chapter 5, you begin to see that the Lord wants to deal with our heart, the conditions of our heart. Right? You know, these days, you might be asking, well, you know, I'm not mad at my colleague. I'm not mad with so many other people around the world, you know, outside. But you know where the Lord is really dealing with our hearts? Where? It's within our household, within our family, right? You might say, well, I don't hate my parents. Okay, but if you get corrected, what is your inward attitude in your heart? Is there a little bit of anger? Mom, why are you talking to me like this? Between husband and wives, right? We're discussing something, and I'm right, you're right. Who's wrong? Who's wrong? I'm not wrong, you're wrong. And eventually, what happens within your heart? We get angry. We get upset. Right? This is really practical, brothers and sisters. And then, of course, between siblings, right? I had the joy of watching my two daughters grow up. When they play well really well. But when they fight really well too. But you know, when they're young, it's kind of like, okay, you can laugh about it. But sometimes if those wrath or the anger doesn't get dealt with while they are young, when they grow older, what happens, Sarah? The root of bitterness grows in our heart. And then the Lord will have to put us in new situations to expose and to judge it. Right? This matter of dealing with the anger in our heart, because yes, it can lead to the root of bitterness. Right? This is why oftentimes, you know, we are reminded in 1 John chapter 2, it says, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. And he who hates his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling of him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. But what really cuts to the heart is in 1 John chapter 4, 20, it says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he has not seen? Right? So this matter of the Constitution isn't just about the Ten Commandments, our outward actions anymore now, brothers and sisters. The Lord wants to go deeper, and he wants to get to the very root, to our heart, to deal with it. And I thank the Lord today for many opportunities within my family to begin to deal with these remaining roots of bitterness. The Lord brings it to light in many different ways and in different situations. It's not just between my two daughters, but it's between adult children and parents. There are so many things that the Lord, it's the little things that the Lord is bringing up. But it's necessary, brothers and sisters, because this is a very strong situation, a strong word. Right? If we are angry, then we are in danger of judgment. It begins in the household, brothers and sisters, in our families, in our marriage, with our children, between brothers and sisters, our siblings. The kingdom begins here. The life that he has given to us needs to change us, transform us to be more and more like him. Right? You touch on this matter of why, if you go on to verse 28... 27, it says, you have heard it, who said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Right? So it may not be outwardly, you know, you're committing adultery or fornication. But now the Lord is dealing with the lust of the flesh in our hearts, right? And you should not be ignorant that Satan will use this to full advantage, especially for all the young people. Some of you are now entering college, right? James and Emmanuel, right? And you've already had your first week of orientation, yeah? And what did you see? A lot of things, right? A lot of things that you may not have seen in high school. But we shouldn't be ignorant and we should not be naive to Satan's plots. Right? He has ensured that we would be exposed to anything and everything that would provoke the lust of the flesh. And you carry it around with you everywhere. It's what? It's your devices. Did you know, even in the Bible, if you go to the Bible website, some of the ads that get promoted there, I'm surprised. What? Why would? This is Bible Gateway. And then in the ad on the site, just something, just enough to provoke the eyes. Right, if you don't use app locker and things like that can pop up, right? Why is this so dangerous? Or what is going on here? You have to realize The enemy wants to destroy, ultimately, the family unit. Right? When you're a young person, you're still single, learn to flee youthful lust, as Paul said. Flee youthful lust and pursue righteousness. Faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord. That's good. You can pursue together to run with all those who call on the Lord for the kingdom. It's good. But guess what? Once you get married, don't think that the lust of the flesh goes away. That's why in America, divorce is over 50%. Because Satan wants to destroy the family unit. He wants God's kingdom to break down at the family level. If the family level is broken down, then how can you have the kingdom? So again, he's touching on the matter of our heart. And then if you go on, verse 33, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oath to the Lord. But eventually it says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. So again, this has a matter to deal with our hearts. When we speak to one another, what is the motive behind our speaking in our hearts? Is your yes really yes? Your no really no? Or is there something behind it? Maybe you say yes on the job because your hidden agenda behind it is to get something in return. Right? How often do we speak? Yes is yes on the job. No is no on the job. It comes back to our heart. Where is our heart? I promise I'm going to get this done. Right? And oftentimes I hear this on the job when I used to work. I promise I'll get it done, John. Don't worry, I'll get it done. And if they see that I'm a little bit questioning, doubting that they'll get it, John, I swear I'll get it done. And they'll say all kinds of stuff to try and get you to believe that they'll get it done. But what is our speaking? How do we speak? Right? This is why it's good. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you that you may know how you ought to answer each one. On the job, learn to do this. Right? Because if we, you know, Monday through Friday, we are on the job and we don't speak together with the Lord, then how are you going to speak when you're talking to the saints? Do we speak the same way? Think about it. Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday, we speak the way of the world. And now we want to speak to the saints. How is that speaking going to come forth? Right? So this is a daily exercise in our heart. Right? And of course, then this last area here regarding reacting towards our enemies. When you go to verse 43, it says, you have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You know, I heard my nephew just started school for the first time, first year in high school, and my brother told him he got shoved in the hallway. And I was like, what? And, you know, my reaction as an uncle is like, well, how could that happen, you know? I haven't had a chance to follow up with him to talk to him, but what happens to you if you get shoved in the hallway at U of T? Maybe you guys are a little bit more sophisticated. You won't shove one another. But you might, like, do other things, like, Not turn in your homework if you asked your friend to turn in your homework. Yeah, that sometimes happens. If it's cutthroat and you can't get your homework in on time, well, okay, you guys do it all electronically now, so I'm sorry. Back in the days when I went to school, it was all paper, okay? So, sorry. Not the right example. But the point is, because everything's electronic today, okay? But the point is, what if things like that happens to you on the campus? What will you do? How will you handle the situation? And on the job, the worst thing that you can happen on the job is you do something that's really great for the company, and someone else gets the credit. Now, how do you all feel when that happens? There's a reaction, right, within our hearts. We may not say anything, but in our hearts, there's already a reaction. Right? So this is these four scenarios, these four situations that are described in Matthew, the second half of Matthew chapter 5, points to the constitution, the heavenly constitution, isn't just only the outward actions that we take, but it goes down to our heart. This is the kind of heart, and this is the kind of nature we should have to be sons of the kingdom. Because in the end, it says, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father is perfect. Your Father in heaven is perfect, just as you are perfect. Now some of you might ask, well, how is that even possible? In my natural man, it is impossible. In our flesh, it is impossible. But do you remember that one sentence that was said last night? I wrote it down. If you didn't get it, it says this. Everything Christ accomplished on the earth is for us. Everything that he accomplished on the earth is for you and me. So that means all of these things that we are faced with daily, the Lord himself has already gone through it. He sympathizes with, of course he sympathizes with us. He knows what we're faced with. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our tendencies. But he overcame all of that. He accomplished it, not just for himself, but for us, especially for us. And this life of the kingdom is already born into our spirit. That's why in Revelation chapter 3, if you read Revelation chapter 3, and this verse is always an encouragement for me. Verse 21, what does it say? Emmanuel, can you read that for us? Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Mm-hmm. Amen. Exactly. I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Right? But here it is. It takes action on our part. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame. Right? If we choose to obey the Lord, to follow the Lord, then for sure he will take you, Emmanuel, all the way to the throne as he is on the throne. Do you believe that? Do you trust in the Lord to do that? Yeah? All right, well then be exercised to choose the Lord day by day. Right? Because this life is within us all. We all have this possibility to reach the goal. What we're reading about isn't just for us to try and keep laws. No, it's within this life that is within us already. Amen. And it's a matter of us every day being exercised to choose life. If we go to Deuteronomy, this passage I've been, these last few weeks we've been in, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11, it says, "For this commandment which I command you today, it is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off." Right? But if we go on to verse 14, "But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it." Praise the Lord for his word. The key to obey the Lord is his word. Be strengthened, right? We talk a lot about eating the word. It's important to eat the word. Why? Because the word strengthens us from within to be able to live according to the Spirit. And when we live according to the Spirit, we are able to keep his commands. "See that I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. And in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, Amen. To walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, Amen. His statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. Amen. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess." Right? The Lord has given us this choice of life and good, right? Death and evil. Which way would you want to choose, Tim? You want to choose life. Praise the Lord. We all want to choose life. Right? And there is this command to love the Lord. Right? Our keeping of the commandment isn't because I'm going to grit it.